What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of the Dolphins in Depth podcast. I'm Daniel Yafusi, that's David Neal, and I'm excited for this week's podcast because we have actual football to talk about. Yes, it was an exhibition game, but we got real football to talk about. The Miami Dolphins kicking off the preseason last Saturday in Tampa after a pair of joint practices. In the debut for new head coach Mike McDaniel, they come away with a nerve-wracking, exhilarating, I mean, can you even say that for a preseason game? But a 26-24 victory against Tampa Bay on a late field goal as time expired, coming off the crossbar, the upright, I should say, and falling short, sealing the Dolphins' first victory in the Mike McDaniel era.
From Booker T. Washington High graduate and FIU graduate Jose Borregales, who they kept on the broadcast. You wouldn't have known he like played 3 years at FIU and kicked them to the wind over at UM, and he was a Booker T. guy. They kept calling him Kane's kicker. I was like, hey, Carlos Huerta. I mean, come on now. But yeah, that was. It's a preseason game. It's
It's a
always
preseason
good.
game, but it was kind of a fun preseason game. It wasn't as fun, much fun for me because I was kind of monitoring the game. I was writing a little gamer just to kind of wrap up, recap the first game under the Mike McDaniel. And I was like, do I have to rewrite this lead? They're driving on them, but the Dolphins secure the victory, and all the talk is about the new offense. A lot of starters. I mean, in fact, almost every starter on both sides of the ball sat out the preseason opener. You did have some guys like Mike Gesicki and some of the offensive linemen play that game. But for the most part, you had a lot of backups, you had a lot of reserves, but we did have some standouts, some people that shined under the lights. One of those people being Skylar Thompson, another Lynn Bowden. But first, I want to go big picture. Yes, it was backups and reserves, but did this offense impress you? What were your takeaways? Did you leave encouraged about Mike McDaniel after this first preseason game?
It was about what you'd expect. In some ways, it was about what you'd expect, and also in some ways, it was like the perfect 2022 Dolphins game. They got points from the defense. The defense set up points. I mean, that late in the first half, that little spurt in the late in the first
They scored
half.
like 20 straight points, but they got two turnovers, and one of
Right,
them was a
one
touchdown.
they scoop and score, and another one, kind of put them in position. And Thompson had to complete the pass to, well, a incredibly wide open, obscenely
Bowden,
wide
yeah.
open. Nobody from Tampa Bay was even in the TV screen if you were watching on your phone or something like that, or your, that's right, the phone. So that was good. Now Tampa Bay did sit on the run,
They
and the
were playing it
Dolphins did
aggressively.
not, right, and because the run thing is, that's McDaniel's thing, so they sat on it. The Dolphins didn't do much with it, but that I think is to be expected. Like I said, the run game takes so much coordination, and it's going to be the last thing to come in. And so for that reason, this team might actually we might not see the best from this team until mid-season. Now, by that point, you hope that it's not too late and they're still in it. It's not like every Dolphin season seemingly, except for like two since the last 20 years, where they're trying to claw out of some one in something hole, one in too many hole. But that's what you saw from the run game is, well, I wouldn't be surprised if you saw that the first few weeks of the season,
Yeah,
even when.
especially that's I mean, that's what we've been seeing. Again, you can never tell because they're not really like going, they're not really going live in training camp. But I mean, I did allude to this, like the run game was definitely a step or two behind the pass game. And we saw that. Of course, Tampa Bay playing the runner, committing to stop the run, like McDaniel said, that played a role. But even so, you could tell that the run game was a little step below or step behind the passing game. Which, it's you could kind of flip it both ways. You could say, well, that's McDaniel's, calling card the run game. So you could say that it worries you that it's not, where it needs to be right now. Or you could kind of flip it and say, well, the passing game was really on point to some extent. And when Tua and Tyreek and Waddle get in there, maybe it can really take off. You can spin it both ways.
I don't think, you know, I'd have been shocked if the run game looked good Saturday night. I just would have been shocked.
Run game is really, it's really hard. It is, like you said, there's so much coordination. You really don't see like run games really look that great in preseason, especially with like back. I mean, for the most part, there's a lot of backup reserve offensive linemen. We're going to get into that about the depth. But there weren't like a lot of starting caliber. No, there were, really weren't any starting caliber offensive linemen by the time that game ended.
Right. From a Dolphins fans perspective, it was, you know, the League of Substitute Heroes beating the League of Substitute Villains.
Yeah. So
you know,
take that.
So, you know, or rather Legion of Substitute Heroes for proper comic book reference. And so, it's fine. We can't tell anything about that from this other than they are where they are.
Yeah.
They are where they're supposed to be. So, you know, if they never look good at the three preseason games, then you kind of go. But I still maintain that this might be what you get for the first month and a half. So
it'll be a process. It'll be a process for sure. You know, I want to focus on one of the stars and, you know, a player that everyone's talking about after that game, which I alluded to before, Skylar Thompson, the team's 7th-round pick. It was a bit of a surprise to see him not only get the start but play the entire game, but apparently Teddy Bridgewater was dealing with some back tightness. Skylar Thompson looked good during joint practices, so he said, hey, let's just get him out there and just get him these reps. I mean, he's not going to get this opportunity in the regular season. Let's get him this opportunity right there. And, you know, by and large, he kind of really seized the opportunity. You know, 20 for 28, 218 yards, his first touchdown, you know, showed some mobility, didn't turn the ball over. You know, after this performance, there's a lot of people who are really beating the drum for Skylar Thompson to be QB2. You know, it just kind of speaks to the state of like this team that people are arguing about whether this guy should be QB2. But I thought he looked really good. I thought that he's older than me for one point, and he's older than like almost half the roster. He's 25 years old. He's a rookie. And McDaniel even said, like, I forget this guy's a rookie sometimes, but he's just so old and, you know, I mean, older than, you know, your typical rookie. But I really thought he looked good. And, you know, I think that, you know, we had the first wave of cuts going from 90 to 85 today. You know, we have 2 more weeks until the roster gets to 53. But I don't know. I think he's making a really strong case to be on that 53-man roster. Obviously, the Dolphins will probably want to sneak him on waivers, get him back on the practice squad. But, I mean, I think he's showing some real signs of being a guy that you can develop into like a high-end backup. And we know that, you know, you need a backup in this league because you never know one hit, one something, one twist, and, you know, your second guy is in there. And he's showing some really good signs as a rookie. I mean, what did you think of his performance overall?
I thought he actually played well, obviously. I mean, the fact that he didn't turn the ball over, he didn't make any of those throws that you just think, oh my goodness,
he had one where he was rolling out and he almost got intercepted. And I'm not gonna lie, it looked like an interception. And that was the first time where I was like, he kind of overreacted and then kind of panicked there. But outside of that, there was no like egregious throws where you're like, this guy doesn't know what he's doing at all.
Right. And you know, taking care of the ball. If you're the backup in any situation, you know, take care of the ball for Pete's sake. You know, if you were that great a playmaker, you wouldn't be the backup.
Yeah.
Now the best argument for keeping him as backup is a combination of, you know, be a combination of what his play is in the preseason and in the near future and Teddy's long history of, you know, of availability issues.
Yeah.
And, you know, Teddy's a fine backup and he's a great, you know, great guy. There's nobody who's ever going to say a bad word about Teddy Bridgewater. You know, if they do, you go ahead and slap the taste out the mouth and nobody will mind. But, you know, being the every week guy, that's not been Teddy's strength throughout his career. And I think you got to keep a third quarterback around because I can see very easily, you know, something happens with Tua. Teddy comes in and boom, Teddy, you know, Teddy is blown up and injured, and then we're and then you know what? Who's the third quarterback? Then you're looking around.
Cedric Wilson might be. I mean, he's throwing some passes. Mohamed Sanu.
Yeah,
he started running a wildcat or something.
You start. We start asking. Okay, who ran the option in high school?
Yeah.
Who was that read option guy in high school? And so yeah, that I honestly think that's as much an argument for keeping him. Now let's see what happens again in the next couple weeks. You know, he's going to face stiffer competition. He's going to face teams he hasn't seen in, you know, in joint practices, and some teams are going to have some real guys out there also, you know, but you know, he played well, hit open receivers and some pretty wide open receivers too.
Yeah, but I mean, hey, that speaks to the scheme, you know. I mean, he was talking about, yeah, like the touchdown pass, you know, that's a layup. Like McDaniel created a lot of layups for him, and to Skylar Thompson, to Skylar's credit, for the most part, he hit those layups. So I think that's another point where you can say you're encouraged. I mean, people are saying, well, if Skylar Thompson can do this, you know, why can't Tua do that or even more with better talent around him? So yeah, I mean, I think he did play well. I mean, we definitely are seeing more teams shift to just having two quarterbacks. Like I remember back, I mean, obviously, you know, my football knowledge and memory doesn't nearly date yours, but even 10, 15 years ago, you know, teams were keeping three quarterbacks on the roster. But now it's like those roster spots are so precious that they'd rather keep two. But I don't know. I mean, I think long term, and if push comes to shove, I don't think that a team would claim him off waivers, because most teams do keep two quarterbacks as well. And I don't think that somebody would be willing to pick him up, you know, to be their backup, like with the regular season 1 week away. I mean, it just wouldn't make sense, because you just wouldn't have that knowledge of the system and everything. So I do think that if they sneak him through waivers, like they'd get him. But just to be careful, I'm just thinking about like the long-term play. I mean, you could have a high-end backup potentially for the next 3-4 years. And it's like, I mean, I'll put it this way. Is that 53rd spot more valuable to, you know, your potential backup quarterback, you know, 1 year, 2 year, 3 years from now, or, you know, the fourth safety, the sixth cornerback, or the, you know, the fifth sit? Like, you know, yeah, I think that with the bigger practice squad, you can make it work and keep him on the 53-man roster.
Right. It's, I mean, as you said, is it worth that? Those guys, because of course, as you say that, I'm thinking, well, how good are those guys at special teams?
I mean, that's usually those final backing guys. That's all they're doing. I mean, obviously, special teams is important, but you just kind of look at the value, you know, but not only the short term play, but the long term play.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't understand how teams stopped keeping three quarterbacks around, because again. Yeah, I, you know, when I was covering the league, everybody kept three quarterbacks around, and the Dolphins wound up using three quarterbacks in a game a couple times when I was covering them, because, yeah, it was, you know, one Chad went down, another Chad went down, and then, you know, it was Tyler Thigpen or somebody coming off the bench who they had, you know, grabbed from Kansas City. So, you know, it seems ridiculous. You know, it seems like you're preparing low percentage thing, when that low percentage thing happens,
you want to make sure you got the insurance.
You want to be covered, and you know every game matters, and that might save you a game. So yeah, it's but I let's see what happens the next 2 weeks. Let's you know, after the first preseason game, there's always that one guy who everybody latches on to is like,
last year was Reed Smith, it was Kirk Merritt. Dolphin fans were like, we cannot lose these guys. And Dolphins were fine with them. They were fine without them.
And then
but he's a quarterback though. So you know there's a little more interest there. And he is showing something.
Yeah.
So it's gonna be interesting.
Let's see. Because that first preseason game guy, how many times did he make it to the end? Yeah. How many times did he wind up on the 53? Heck.
Not exactly.
Yeah. So again. Let's see what happens. It was a good performance.
Yeah, most definitely. And like I said, 2 weeks until we have another cut down next Tuesday, and then 2 weeks from now, the final cut down to pretty thin roster. So we'll see where that lands Skylar Thompson. We're going to take a short break, but when we come back on the other side of things, we're going to look ahead to the Dolphins' second preseason game this weekend at home against the Las Vegas Raiders. We finally see Tua, a couple starters. Should we see Tua and a couple starters? We're going to talk about that and more coming up.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's going on, everybody? Still here on the Dolphins in Depth podcast with David Neal, talking all things Dolphins. So last week, as I said before, about 20 Dolphins sitting out for various reasons, most of them starters who Mike McDaniel elected not to play, among them Tua Tagovailoa, Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill, Teron Armstead, Xavier Howard, all the big names for the most part sat out. Excuse me. We actually spoke to Mike McDaniel Tuesday before practice, and he he declined to really divulge his plan for Saturday's game. He in Mike McDaniel fashion, he had some funny quip, and he said, just we're not there yet. He did say he'd be surprised. Last week he said he'd be surprised if Tua didn't play at all. So just based off the three-game format, I mean, you would think that this is the game that Tua plays, kind of the quote-unquote dress rehearsal game for the third preseason game where most of the starters sit out. But David, I mean, do you think Tua should play? I mean, we saw a day before the Dolphins preseason opener, we saw Zach Wilson have a really bad injury scare with his knee. Luckily for him and the Jets, he's only going to be out for a couple of weeks. We saw Jalen Hurts take a legal shot, kind of a cheap shot on the sideline. A lot of these veteran quarterbacks, obviously Tua is not like a veteran quarterback. We see a lot of these quarterbacks that are playing less and less in the preseason. Obviously, this is a new scheme, but given the injury risk and whatnot, is this, I mean, do you want to see Tua out there on Saturday?
Yeah. Cause I don't want the idea that his first game with this new system, in anything resembling live, live bullets is when the bullets are very live on opening day.
Yeah.
I gotta see something, and yes, there's an injury risk. There's an injury risk in practice, for Pete's sake. There's an injury risk in every game. But I don't think, you're already limiting him to this one game out of fear of injury. That's the only reason you're doing it. Otherwise, if you weren't worried about injury, you
throw him out there every single game.
You play the whole first thing. Game, you play him all three games. Heck, let's you really get into it. But so obviously, you're already cutting back because of injury. I don't think you can cut it out, And so I think you got to at least see him a half, if not more, things can always happen. We've all seen practice injuries, guys go down with, ACLs or whatever, or bad season ending injuries in practice in training camp.
Yeah.
Happens. So, but you can't operate out of complete fear. So, and you need, this guy needs snaps, at something faster than training camp practices, before it gets, we're in sixth gear on September 11th and everything's really go, go, go.
Yeah.
So Yeah, I think you got to see him. Got to. Well, you know, and hey, you know, if he goes out there, tears it up in a half and, you know, lays down 200 yards, 11 of 15.
More power, more power to you. You're
ready. Right.
You pull him right there and then you
walk right. Okay, that's good. That's good. That's good. You know, we're in good shape. Or, you know, if he, you know, if he shows signs that things just aren't quite right, you want to see that too. Yeah. And you want to give him a chance to work through that because there's only so much you can work through it in practice. And yeah, definitely have to do it. And you also, you know, definitely have to tell your offensive line.
Yeah, that's another thing.
If he gets hurt, you gonna be hurt. I mean, how big you are. You big and strong, but we gonna hurt you some one way or the other.
Yeah. I mean, you spoke a lot about before about that. The continuity with the offensive line, like it takes a while to get that to gel. And they had three of the starters play. It was, you know, coincidentally, three of the returning, you know, projected starters: Liam Eichenberg, Austin Jackson, and Robert Hunt. They played two snaps. I thought they were solid. In that game, obviously, they didn't open up as many holes as probably they would have liked to. But I thought they were solid. But again, like, I think that it's important. You know, I was surprised that Connor Williams didn't play the first game, truthfully, just given some of the snap issues that he's had, high snaps, kind of mishandled quarterback exchanges. I was surprised he didn't get in there. So I definitely want to see him get in there with Tua just to get, like, the actual live game reps of doing that and see how that translates from practice. But, yeah, I mean, I expect to see Tua there, Tua in that second preseason game. I know McDaniel said last week that based off the joint practices and the previous practices, he felt encouraged and, like, empowered to not play him. And if Tuesday's practice is any indication, we're probably going to see Tua because he threw three interceptions. Now, obviously, some of those interceptions were in, you know, different types of situations. There was red zone. There was, you know, kind of late game situations. But overall, it wasn't the greatest day at all for the offense. Probably actually one of their worst days even prior. You know, I think that they threw like four or five of those interceptions came kind of late into practice and when they were doing the late game stuff. But even before then, it wasn't a really great practice. It was actually a really quiet day for Tyreek Hill. We only really saw him or heard of him once during the practice. So again, just to get all those guys out there. I mean, the guys that are healthy enough to get out there, if you can get a quarter, you can get a half. Just to, like, build that confidence and, like, get that just it's almost like more mental than physical. And just to be like, okay, we have this new scheme. We put it out on film. We actually, like, executed it properly. We got a scoring drive or whatever and then get out. I do think that some of these joint practices, I thought, like, the Tampa Bay joint practices, like, a lot of really good work. They have another pair of practices with Philly. So obviously that's going to be a lot of more, not like standard practice reps, but, you know, maybe a notch below, you know, like a preseason game or preseason right. situation. But again, just to get like the actual like reps out there and be like, all right, you went through the pregame situation, went out on the field, you executed, and then you came out. If it's for a quarter, if it's for a half, I think it'd be really beneficial just because of all the moving parts.
Right. Yeah. Because you just have to see it. You can't be surprised. You can't, you know, it's sort of like being an attorney in a trial. You can't ask any question that you don't know the answer to. When you're doing that,
yeah.
Or if you do that too often, you know, you'll be asking the questions from somebody somewhere else because you'll have to be out of a job. But, you know, so yeah, the quarterback, I mean, that. The quarterback center exchange, that's about as basic as it gets.
Yeah.
So you have to make sure everything's cool. Yeah, you got to play him. Yeah, and, you know, you got to play. Give your starter some, you know, rhythm because, like I say, it's a little – you can't jerk your car, you know, even a high-performance car. You can't jerk that sucker. Second gear to sixth gear, you know, you do that, you're gonna strip the transmission.
I don't have that type of money, so I'm not familiar with that. I'm not familiar with that, but I'll take your word for it.
I don't have that kind of money either. But I'm an auto racing guy. I'm raised in Indianapolis, you know. No, you can't. You have to build. So this is part of the building.
Yeah, and then, like I said, I do expect to see him. And even McDaniel said that while he didn't commit to Tua, he said to Tua playing on Saturday, he did say that he expects some guys that didn't suit up Saturday to do that Saturday, to do that the following Saturday. So we'll see. The last thing I want to touch on before we get out of here is the Dolphins. I think that you could say that for the first time this past couple of days, they've kind of faced some adversity. I think that we're starting. We talked about the roster last week with the depth chart coming out, but I think that there's some kind of significant questions starting to come out regarding some areas of this team. Cornerback has been a question, all throughout training camp with Byron Jones being on the physically unable to perform list. McDaniel said he's still on track and hopeful that he's ready for week one. But the more and more in time he misses, I think the more you gotta put that into question. We know Xavier Howard is Xavier Howard. Nick Needham is a solid slot cornerback, but outside of that, I mean, there's some questions. I mean, if Nick Needham, or excuse me, if Byron Jones isn't ready for week one, I mean, Nick Needham probably has to take his role. And then, who's your third cornerback? Who's your fourth cornerback? The team lost Trill Williams to a season-ending ACL tear in the preseason game, which was really tough because he was a guy who I thought was coming on really strong. Noah Igbinoghene is, I mean, he struggled. I mean, he's had some moments, but the consistency hasn't been there. I mean, it got to the point where the Dolphins had to sign a veteran, yesterday, Mackenzie Alexander, right off the street. And he was at practice today, Tuesday, but didn't see him do too much. And even on the offensive line, I mean, I think that the just I guess the performance with the run game, some sacks and pressures that were given up, the offensive tackle started to become a question as well. Whether Armstead is a guy who hasn't played 16 games, I don't think ever in his career, and he's missed a lot of games in the past couple of years. So if you have an injury to him, that puts the offensive line in a perilous spot. How concerned are you? I mean, you watched the game. You saw a lot of these backup linemen. You saw some of these backup cornerbacks. How much of a concern do you think any of those two spots are right now?
Yeah, the corners that weren't making me feel that great before Williams went down, and I mean, when Blaine Gabbert's eating you up a little bit,
Yeah, he was picking off some people. He was picking off some people in that game, man.
that's when you gotta start thinking about maybe I should have gone to class a little more.
I think they do for I think the Bucks do for like 340 in that game. I mean, they were picking what they wanted.
Yeah, and so, and also anyway, in current NFL, teams are coming out, and the sets they're coming out in, you need three corners almost a standard.
Yeah, and the Dolphins have that, but the question is because of Byron being
Right.
out.
No, 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 no,
Yeah,
no. You don't have that. The Dolphins don't have that right now.
because Byron is out.
He's not out. He's not there. And so, and the fact that they signed Mackenzie Alexander, when I saw that, I was like, oh.
And he wasn't, and that surprised me because I thought that they had worked out some like undrafted free agent guy, and I was like, okay. I was like, I told somebody, I was like, I think those are the type of guys that they're gonna bring in, like just the undrafted free agent, just get some depth until maybe Byron comes back. And now, I mean, this is a guy that started about 20 some odd games in the NFL. He started five games last year. I mean, he's like a legitimate veteran cornerback. I mean, I think he could potentially fill in as a starter. I mean, so that's I mean, that kind of spoke more to the state of the cornerback room than anything. The fact that they brought like a legitimate corner with starting experience.
Exactly. That tells you what they think of what they have, what they think of what they know they have. And also tells, and it's also, hey, let's say Byron Jones coming back fine and healthy. Okay, fine. Then it's just more depth. But you don't, when you don't sign Mackenzie Alexander, if you're just thinking, okay, we'll be okay. We're
We
gonna
get
be,
Byron back in a week or
yeah,
two, and then
we'll,
we're kind of back to normal.
yeah, it'll be all right. No. They're a little worried. And so if they're a little worried, and they get paid, they get paid with an extra zero and have the little cute little logo, get the little logo, the polo shirt logo to, be a coach and know stuff, then I'm guessing, fans should be worried if they're of a mindset to worry if they care enough to worry.
Yeah, and it's really just because like the cornerbacks are so important in this defense too. I mean, we saw like when Exon and Byron were hurt last year, and the defense was one of the worst units in the NFL because they couldn't cover because you know they have the blitz, and if you don't have guys that can cover the blitz, the blitz is not going to go out of luck.
Not a good setup. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I mean playing defense today is so tough with all the rules so tilted toward the offense. And, you know, if you have to be able to cover at least a couple seconds because, you know, it's to give you guys time to get to the quarterback. That's the start of your pass defense. And, you know, what Bill Walsh said still holds true. Key to winning in the NFL is a pass rush in the fourth quarter, you know, and – you know, you still need to give those guys time to get there, you know, even if it's only a couple seconds. And what, you know, what teams are doing now, you need three corners, four corners. You know, you need safeties who can cover it. You need linebackers who can cover for the matchups with the tight end. So, yeah, that's worrisome. The offensive line, I just, you know, obviously, their history of just things just not working out there is long. But that's something, again, it's sort of like the running game. It's like, okay, this may be a work in progress, you know, but, you know, just, you know, don't get your quarterback broke while you're finding yourself and getting your stuff together. You know, you can break a running back now. But don't get the quarterback.
I mean, I think that this time of year, you know, every team, every fan thinks that, you know, they have so much confidence in the team. And then as the weeks go on, as the practices go on, you realize the team, maybe they have some crack in the arm. You know, they're not as deep as you think they are. And I think that definitely cornerback and offensive line, the offensive tackle spot specifically is the spot that is starting to get exposed a bit. One thing I'll say is that, I mean, if you look around the NFL, there's not a lot of teams who can withstand an injury to their top offensive tackle or, you know, their top cornerback. I mean, there's a lot of teams where if they get any major injury to those two positions, one a player at that position group, they're going to be in some trouble. You know, so I do think that the Dolphins are they're in kind of a weird spot with Byron. Cause again, I think that something, we can only go by what McDaniel was saying. And he says that they remain hopeful. But you can remain hopeful until you're not hopeful at all.
Yeah, hope. Well, you can translate hopeful through, did you just sign a guy who might start?
Yeah.
Oh, that's how hopeful you are.
Yeah.
You know, you can, again, it's the whole action speak louder than words. You can tell me what
keep you on think. Saying. You keep on saying, but he's doing well. There's no setbacks. We don't see him.
Man. Yeah.
4 weeks until the regular season starts again. Yeah. I mean, hey, for all we know, he can come off PUP tomorrow, and then he kept 3 weeks to go for week one, and he could be good to go. But right now, you know, he's not there, and it is gonna take some time. I mean, he had offseason surgery on his leg, so I mean, it's gonna take some time to get back in the swing of things. So until then, I mean, all we can do is kind of question that position right now.
So yeah, and you know, that's. The signing of Alexander is a good move. It's a little more necessary than they want it to be, but you know, it's still eventually it's going to be a good move. Even if
Byron comes back,
if Byron comes back, it's extra. It's very good depth player.
Yeah,
but and if Byron doesn't come back, well then you know, there you go.
He's somebody that you can kind of hold the fort down. Hold the fort down. You know, within the scheme of this defense. For a couple of weeks, so
I agree. Yeah, that's and like I said, the offensive line. Let's
give it some time.
There's
some young guys at the backup spots too, so they're still learning and growing too. So there's potential there.
Right.
Yeah.
If it there's some especially if it looks especially leaky this week,
we can start to sound the alarm a little bit or.
You know, that's when you start to look around and you start to think, do we have the right guys or, What do we need to do here? So the second preseason game, it's so funny. Now the second preseason game becomes the one that all
everyone's really looking out for. Yeah,
right. About what we're what each team has, and yeah. But that was, I think, for this 1 week. Ideally you wanted to get out there with win and no injuries. Well, you got
one severe injury that, you know, you think can be mitigated. So right. Otherwise, you know, you kind of outside of Trill's injury, kind of view it right. as a success, especially because you weren't playing anybody, you know, really of significance throughout most of the game.
Right. So, you know, mark it as a B minus or whatever, and you know, move on forward.
Yeah. Now it's going to be interesting to see again who plays, how much they play. We see an improvement in the run game. We see a little more explosiveness in the pass game. So it's going to be fun to watch. But that brings us to the end of another edition of the Dolphins in Depth podcast. I want to remind all of you guys to subscribe to the Miami Herald YouTube page, share, like, comment below what you like, what you want to see better. Drop some questions in there. We might answer that one day. And we'll be back next week.
We might even read the comments one day.
We might just read the comments, kind of like that. What's the radio?
Oh, no. We're just read the comments because Lord knows we don't right now.
I do.
Oh, you read the comments out.
We'll see.
I'm too old. I got to keep my mental health and, you know, it's got the incense going here and everything.
So I'll just let mine degrade while you you preserve yours. But anyway, we'll be back next week to recap the Dolphins' second preseason game against the Las Vegas Raiders and what we see. But until then, you guys take care. See ya.